Good morning. "502 in the Blue" is a song that I really appreciate. It's "We Appreciate You." Well, I've changed that to "I Appreciate You." But this song has really helped me out. If you see me in my van singing this song, you know I'm either just saw an amazing sunrise or you know, something along those lines. Or else I'm fighting something, and it's pulling me out of the deep. So I like his song because it's very simple. It's easy to remember, and the point is very sharp. So anyway, that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. The first verse, I'll read part of it. It says, "Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you, we bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you." Let's turn to Romans 3, 22 through 26. I'll be reading out of the New International Version this morning, unless I make a mistake. But "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ." This is one of my favorite verses right here. "This righteousness." So what's righteousness? Righteousness from Strong's means equity of character or act, justification. And then that comes from a word, another word that means, by implication, innocent or holy. And that comes from another word that means right, justice, or judgment. So this is righteousness is what is right. Fairly simple. "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace." That's God's grace, His gift to us. And, oh, I was going to talk about justified also. Justified is almost the same identical word as righteousness. To render, show or regard as just or innocent. Think about that. We are justified. We are innocent. And God has given this to us. Alright, I'm going to go back to verse 24. "And are justified freely by His grace." Yeah. "And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sin committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." So do we appreciate God? I would think so. He has made us innocent, which is no small feat, and he did it with the sacrifice of His Son. He paid a great price. He is tremendous. I like Luke 10 and 21. It's Jesus speaking, and He says, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure.'" See, God is the one who makes us right. I mean, that's his goal. His goal is to fix us, to bring us to heaven with him. And that's what brings him glory, is us recognizing the fact that he has done this. He has provided a way for us, and all we have to do is believe on his Son. Have that faith, and believe that he is capable of this, and give him the honor for it. Romans 16. Romans 16:25-27. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. So here God is God. I mean, he is fixing everything. He is the one who's making everything right. That's what God is all powerful, all knowing, and everywhere. He is in charge, and we need to recognize that. And then my favorite psalm as of lately. Actually, I wasn't quite sure if this was appropriate for the Father or Son, but we're going to read it anyway. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. And as you find out, as we go through this lesson, we will find out that the people close to his heart is all of us. It's all nations. Second verse of 502 is, Son of God, what a wonder you are. You cleansed us from sin, sent the Spirit within. Son of God, what a wonder you are. I was going to read Ephesians 3, and I highly recommend you read it, but for time, I think I'm not going to read it. Instead, I'm going to go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus paid the price for our mess-ups. His blood, I mean, we were doomed. We had all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we were failing. And Jesus came along and he was the perfect sacrifice because he had no sin. He didn't need to die. Why do we die? We die because of sin. And Jesus had no sin, which was part of the plan, that he had no sin, would live a perfect life, and then he would die. Now, what do humans fear, probably more than public speaking even, is death. It's dying. And Jesus came here and had no reason to die. He hadn't sinned. But he died anyway. He shed his blood so that by his blood we can get that blood on us. And when God sees us, he doesn't see what's under the blood. He sees the blood, his son. And so we can have all kinds of privileges because of that. And the greatest one is heaven. And that last part, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This day is coming, and I personally get so caught up in everyday things, and I'm not thinking about that day coming when. We sang that song, I can't remember what it is now. Oh, it was for the Lord's table. Perhaps at midnight, I'm screwing this all up. But it's going to be dark as midnight, and it'll be bright as day, and with his coming. And we need to be watching for that, and encouraging each other with that, because that's going to be wonderful. If we're ready, that is. It would be wonderful if we're ready. Okay. And then another... I doubt if any of these are new scriptures. Well, I got one that might be new. But 1 Thessalonians. As soon as I remember which direction it is. Okay. First Thessalonians 4:13-18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So we most definitely appreciate Jesus. Most definitely. In the third verse, Holy Spirit, what a comforter you are. You lead us, you guide us, you live right inside us. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are. This is the one I least understand. And Wade had a couple weeks ago had some really good lessons on this and got me the wheels turning on it. And I'd always kind of, if I don't understand something, I tend to dismiss it. Like cell phones, you know, I don't carry it. I'm so glad for Saturday and Sunday because I don't have to carry that thing. And so if you want to call me, you better call me before the weekend. Because I'm not very dependable on the weekends. But the same goes the Holy Spirit. I don't quite understand it, so I just kind of ignore it, you know. And that's probably not a good thing. Because what I've been reading has very great benefits and encouragement. So let's go first to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, 7 through 16. All right, I'm gonna throw 6 in there too. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been given and that God's destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. It might be why it's kind of hard to understand. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, kind of comforting and kind of disturbing at the same time. The first part, they have an analogy in there that, you know, who understands what's really in your head except you, unless you tell somebody. I mean, we run into that as husbands and wives all the time. I mean, I'm thinking one thing and Joy's thinking something else, and we end up getting angry at each other because we're not communicating and we're not on the same track. Well, how do we understand what God is thinking? And so from here it says we have the Spirit. So we have His Word, and I've heard people say that the written word is the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure I agree with that, but I can see how it can be perceived as that, because, I mean, how else? I mean, that's how we know what God is thinking. And then verse 14 comes along. I think it's 14. Yes. The man without the spiritual The Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is very disturbing to me, because sometimes I just feel like I'm just not getting this. I don't understand this. It's like I'm trying to grab shadows. And yet I don't think that's what he's getting at there, though, either. And then it's 15 is freeing. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. I mean, what can man do to us? I mean, if God is for us, who can be against us? So, make sure, let's always be looking, seeking. Let's always be seeking. Always be looking. But we have the mind of Christ. How comforting is that? It's one of those, I call it a brown thing. It's something that is super simple. It just seems unreal because of its simplicity. It's just brown. It's not brightly colored. It's not. It's just brown. But we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, we're saved. Okay. Whether we are, it goes along with what we were talking about in class this morning. I think I have not. This hadn't occurred to me until just now, but we have Christ saves us. Okay, the grace of God saves us. It's not what we do; it's Christ saves us. Okay, we're saved, but we do things because we love God, and we do these things, and we want to serve Him and do these things. It's just, I don't know, maybe I totally confused you there, but I think the best things in life are some of these things that are just, they're so simple that they confuse us, because it can't possibly be that easy. It can't possibly be that we just believe in Christ, and that's what gets us into heaven. It doesn't seem right, but I think it's true. John 16 and 7 says, "But I tell you the truth," this is Jesus speaking to his apostles, "but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away." Think about that. You spent 3 years with Jesus, seen all these miracles, and Jesus is telling you, "Hey, I got some good news. I'm leaving." "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you." Who's the Counselor? The Counselor is the Holy Spirit. This is one of Wade's points that he brought up. I hadn't really thought of before. That we might be better off than the apostles were with Jesus right there, because we have the Holy Spirit. Now it's going to take some convincing to actually get that driven through my thick skull, but I'm stewing on that one. We could be better off with the Holy Spirit than with actually having Jesus physically here. And then the 2 Timothy 1, 13 through 14. 2 Timothy 1. Okay. "For you heard from me," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "for you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching what faith and love in Christ Jesus." So that's faith, love, and Christ Jesus. What he's learned from Paul, that's what he's keeping, okay? "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So here Paul is Timothy is a young evangelist, and Paul's an old apostle, I guess, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's, you know, two people that need encouragement. We know Paul needed encouragement. He asked for prayers and boldness and stuff like this. And Timothy, here, Paul told Timothy, he was kind of encouraging him in a rough sort of way, you know. We're not timid, we're bold, and now here he's telling him to keep this. I mean, the fundamental truths, keep this. And then in 14 it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So the Holy Spirit helps us guard these things. It helps us keep a hold of them. Maybe it reminds us, you know, that 2x4 upside the head maybe. Or, you know, a prod or something along those lines. So the Holy Spirit works with us. And then in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Think about that. It's very hard to separate God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're all kind of very closely laminated together, I would say. And it's very difficult to separate them. But we are God's temple. And He is living in us. And then this one, my next verse here, Deuteronomy 23. This is what I want you to think about. I don't know how I came across this during this, but I did. Designate a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. As a part of your equipment, have something to dig with, and when you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. Okay. That seems kind of very basic rules, you know. Okay, I can see the practical sense in that. For the Lord, your God, moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver you from your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy, so that he will not see among you anything indecent or turn away from you. And I don't have a whole lot to say about that one. It makes me wonder. I mean, maybe God is closer to us than we think. I mean, is God afraid of stepping in something? It just seems disrespectful, and I hesitate to even say that. But think about the close proximity you are. I don't know. I'm still running that one through my mind. And then we'll jump back to 1 John 4. John 4:12-15. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. So the Spirit, verse 13 there, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. In the verse prior to that he says, no one has ever seen God. So this is kind of, you know, the physical and the spiritual have this in my mind anyway, has this, I have this difficulty being a physical being, appreciating the spiritual, because I can't see it, I can't grab a hold of it, I can't, it's like grabbing shadows. And here we have the Spirit, and we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. So the Spirit is the tangible edge of spirituality. It's kind of like we're just getting like something you can't quite see that disappears around the corner, like an animal that goes around the corner, and you just see the end of its tail going around the corner. Just a little piece of something that lets you know that the rest of the dog is there, even though you didn't see it. You just saw the last of the tail going around the corner. And Romans 8. We'll go to Romans 8. Five through 17. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. How many... All right, I keep trying to include all of you in this. how many times do I... When I'm not paying attention to God, and I'm not reading His Word, I'm not singing, or I'm not praying, or I'm not paying attention to God. How many times is this true? That's when it's even harder for me to grasp, to be thankful, to be aware of the Holy Spirit, to do that. And when I start the sin, the nature, natural, I'll call it, the natural things start taking over. So those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It is so much easier to pay attention to something that you're into. That, like, I don't know. If you're really into something, you don't have to think about it. It just automatically comes up. Like Nathan and his truck. You know, his truck's always, I don't know if it is anymore, but it's, I mean, things, if you're into something, you pay attention to it. And you're, it's in the forefront of your mind. If you're not interested in it, where is it? It's in the back of your mind. And it's slowly slipping away into the rearview mirror. So, okay. Verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body... But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. So, heirs is, being an heir is a pretty cool thing. That's, I mean, Jesus makes Jesus our big brother. I mean, who isn't He going to beat up for us? So, that's pretty cool. All right, my last one. Ephesians 1. Ephesians. All right, who moved Ephesians? All right. Ephesians 1 and 13, starting 13 and ended up in 2 and 10. That's my problem. I have a hard time finding stopping places. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking, now this is Paul praying for his fellow Christians, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand and in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and domain, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. See, I love this transition. He goes from he can't find words powerful enough to describe the situation. And then he drops to the bottom of the barrel. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's good stuff. God is so good and powerful and just saved us from everything. I mean, He has just lifted us up out of the deepest pit and put us in the highest position. I mean, we're seated at the Jesus' side in heaven. That's quite an extreme from where we started. And there was one other verse I wanted to use. I can't remember what it was now, but Jesus was talking to his apostles. He wouldn't even be interceding. I mean, he wouldn't even be the mediator. God would respond to their prayers because of his love for them. I mean, just think about that. I mean, God loves us so much that he has provided all this for us. He has just, I mean, it's just incredible that we have all this. And it's a wonderful thing. So I'll stop there. If there's anybody here who has not taken advantage of this great gift, you can't be so bad that you can't take advantage of it. That's just a myth. And God can save you. He saved so many people, and there's so many left to go. And so, if you want to take advantage of this great gift, come forward. Or if that's not going to work for you, then contact somebody. Don't wait. Don't put it off, because the end is coming. We read about that too. Jesus is coming back, and at that point, the offer will be closed. And so, take advantage of it now, or as soon as possible. So, we'll stand and sing the closing song.